The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, should you be giving your children jobs to do, or should you just be letting them enjoy their childhood unfettered? And should you be encouraging them to take risks rather than protecting them from them? With me is Dr. Mary O'Kane, lecturer in psychology and early years education. Good morning, Mary.
Morning, Anton.
So, chores for kids. Should kids just be allowed to be children, given that they'll spend the rest of their lives doing chores?
Oh, Anton, you make it sound like I'm saying, let's have a little sweatshop in your back room, having them working away. Chores are good for them, Anton. I'm a real believer in giving them chores. Not too many, but there was a huge research study in America, the Harvard Grant Study, it was called. It followed kids over, actually followed people over 75 years. But they found in order to be happy and successful in life, there were two things we need. We need to be loved, first of all, we all know that. But they also found people need a good work ethic. They need to feel capable. And that's the basis of self-esteem. Now, if you want, I hear parents saying, oh, I really want my child to feel confident and full of self-esteem. Well, love them, you know, absolutely important. But they need to feel strong and capable. And if we do everything for them, if we take on every task for them and clear their path so they face no challenges, they'll never realise how capable they are.
But surely children have a lot of chores anyway. They spend all day in school, they come home and they do their homework. Does getting them to do things around the house make a significant difference? And on top of all of that?
It's different to schoolwork. This is different because this is very much about your own competence in life, in family life. So you're sort of part of a family. And if they think, well, my family is a team. So I'm not saying, you know, get up on a Saturday morning and lie back and watch the TV and get them to do the work. But if we're doing stuff together, like if I'm doing something, you do something, we're part of a team here. And it makes them realize that I'm capable of doing things. I can take on a task that is put in front of me. It also makes them realize sometimes I don't get it right. Sometimes I don't do something properly. I try and I fail, not the end of the world. And it's really good for them to learn that in real life family experiences.
Give us a sense then of the kind of age appropriate tasks we should be giving our kids.
Oh, well, you know, the whole idea of the whole Montessori method of education is real life stuff. So when they're little, things like setting the table, you know, start getting them used to dress themselves, helping with gardening, helping with pets. Like if you have a pet, it's not only one person in the household, you'll be looking after the pet all the time. We all do it. So that as they get older, even when the washing comes in from the line, you know, sorting out the pants and the socks and putting them in bedrooms, you know, just pulling up their duvet and straightening their bed when they're about 5 or 6, 7 or 8 when they get older, washing the dishes, maybe loading the dishwasher, helping to put away groceries with you, you know. And as they get older, they are more and more capable of doing more. By the time they're hitting the teens, they should be able to be taking responsibility for the dishwasher, doing a bit of hoovering, looking after younger siblings for you sometimes. So it's not big stuff, but it's responsibility. But responsibility for kids, Anton, really is so good for them in making them realize how capable they are.
What then about risks and appropriate levels of risk encouragement?
Oh, see, again, Anton, I'm a lover of risk-taking. And I know parents, when they hear risk-taking, no, we're so risk-averse as parents. But for younger children, you know, we want them to do the chores, but we also want them to play and have adventure. So particularly over the summer, you have them doing the chores, but you also want them doing fun stuff. But the fun stuff should sort of push them outside their comfort zone. Anton, we have huge problems with anxiety, not only in Ireland, across the world, but huge in Ireland, for our children and for our teens. And one of the ways we can help them cope with the fact that the world can be anxious at times, and that's just a fact of life, is getting them to face risky things, things that make them slightly anxious, but through play. So whether that's a little one, pushing them a bit higher on the swing, you know, encouraging them to ride faster on their bike, or whether it's an older kid and you're encouraging them to do something adventurous, it makes them experience anxiety, like your heart pounds, you get butterflies in your tummy, all the feelings of anxiety. So they're realizing what happens to their bodies when they're scared, but they realize, you know what, I can deal with this. You know, this is not the end of the world. So we call it safe risk taking. Really, really good for kids. I know with teenagers, parents hear the word risk and they automatically think drink, drugs, you know, sexual experimentation. But oh my gosh, there's a lot of really good risk-taking. Trying out for a sports team, you know, trying out for a school play, learning to drive. Yeah. Any parent who has a teenager who's learning to drive knows that that can feel very risky for everybody involved, but it's good for us all.
How do you balance the potential downsides to those risks? I mean, you talk about encouraging a child to go faster on the bicycle, and the downside risk is child gets it wrong and you're collecting teeth. Likewise, you push them further on the swing, you go a bit far, again, we're back to teeth collection.
You see, it is that balance though, isn't it, Anton? And it's scary for us. That balance is hard. But if I give an example of one of mine, and she used to do gymnastics. And you know, in gymnastics, they're doing stuff on the ground for a long time, and then they have to get on that beam. Now, they've practiced on the ground. It's not like you're jumping up onto the beam with no practice. You've practiced this stuff on the ground, but eventually they have to get up on that beam and try it. And maybe they'll fall off that beam, but you have on the ground, you have mats that they're going to fall onto to protect them. But if they never get up on the beam, they'll never realize they can do it. So it's about that balance of, you know, putting in place what we need to sort of protect them, but just gently pushing them outside the comfort zone. So we're not sort of throwing them in the deep end of the pool, like fling you in and you'll learn to swim. We're sort of going step by step by step so that they realize what they are capable of.
Is there also a potential danger that if you inculcate a desire for risk taking in a child and in a teenager, as they become a young adult, they overdo it?
Oh, well, Anton, teenagers, adolescents are hardwired to take risks. That's the way their brain works. So with our teens, the emotional center of the brain is thriving. It's absolutely running full engines. But the sensible part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, this is the part of the brain responsible for things like impulse control and judgment, whatever. That's not functioning exactly the same way. So the emotional brain is going crazy. Teenagers are really, really hardwired to be risky. So think about, if you've never prepared them, if you have never, when they're little, slowly, slowly encouraged them to take small, healthy, positive risks every day, so they've actually learned that risk involves decision making. It makes you have to stand back and think, hold on, is risk benefit, you know, is it worth trying this? If you do that when they're little and you slowly, slowly prepare them, then when they're teenagers, they've actually started to get used to the idea that we need to think a little bit about our risk. We need to think about the risk versus the benefit. If we do nothing, if we don't give them chores, if we don't let them take risks, when the teenage brain kicks in, they've nothing to look back on to help them make slightly healthier decisions.
Text to say, the pain with all this sharing of housework is when someone insists on everything being done their way. That's an approach that teaches kids little and can foster conformity, which is not good. So what about that balance between giving them the capacity to be in charge of their own tasks versus acting as quasi-serfs?
Oh, and funny, Anton, I think we all have a little bit of that in us, particularly with the little ones. You know, they want to wash the dishes and the water is splashing anywhere and you're thinking, oh, I would do it faster. I would do it better. And we need to step back a little bit. If they're going to learn, they're going to get stuff wrong. Anton, the amount of research with our teenagers today that shows how teenagers see mistakes as failure, absolute failure. They should be learning to make mistakes from when they're little. And as, exactly as that listener said, we need to step back and allow them to be imperfect. We're not perfect. We're never going to be. So we need to allow them to realize, you don't always get something perfect, but I'm learning and I get better and better the more I practice. That's a good lesson for them.
A texter asking one that I suppose brings risk and responsibility together. At what age should a child be allowed to be in the house on their own?
Oh, Anton, we don't have a set age, really. There's not a set age that you say there can't be. Think about responsibility. Start small, okay? So younger teens, give them brief tastes of being on their own. So think of you, well, we all say before 14, for a very, very short time. 16, you can be left. But it's really about you. It's about your child. You know them better than anybody else, and start small. Build them up. It's a bit like minding younger siblings. Same thing. You know, you have your 16-year-old. One 16-year-old would be absolutely trustworthy. The other one would be not a care in the world, wouldn't give a damn about the little sibling. So you know your kids best, but again, build them up slowly. Small amounts of time on their own, small amounts minding younger siblings. And again, that's really good for their independence.
Mary, thank you very much. That's Dr. Mary O'Kane, lecturer in psychology and education and author of Perfectly Imperfect Parenting.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.